This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Fearscape Media Network. Exploring the unknown. One podcast at a time.
The internet could be better than it is today. More open, private, and secure. That's why the engineers, system administrators, and designers at NordVPN have spent the last 8 years developing a security and privacy tool to bring this vision closer to reality. Today, millions of NordVPN users around the world click the blue Quick Connect button whenever they need online protection. That's a very private club. To join this club, go to fearscapepodcast.com/VPN and protect your internet activity today.
Something dark is here, flying in the skies, lurking in the woodlands, swimming in the rivers, and hiding under your bed. Join me, Mark L. Watson, and Fearscape Media as we delve into the paranormal, the occult, the spiritual, and the esoteric, and peer beyond the veil. Find us everywhere you get your podcasts or search for more information at fearscapemedia.com.
Hello, I'm so glad you could join us. I hope you brought your blanket to hide under. The spooky crew is going to discuss things and events from other realms. Ghosts, cryptids, aliens. Be sure to hold your blanket extra tight as the boys take you deep into the Fearscape.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another fantastically frightening and enlightening episode of Fearscape Paranormal Podcast here on the Fearscape Media Network. That's right, we are here to make you fear. My name is Stefan Gearhart, and I am the host for the show, and I am joined as always by my brilliant and just fashionably late co-host, Josh Rutledge. What's up, man?
I'm doing fantastic, and actually I was early tonight. I mean, we were, you know, weren't supposed to start till 9 Eastern, and I was here at 8:30 Eastern.
You were, but I said fashionably late. I mean, that shirt is so 2000 late.
It's Cheers, so it's not like 1980s late.
Right. Well, in the Cheers intro theme, that bar was there in like the 1800s, man. So
that's true.
It goes way back.
That's true.
It goes way back. But anyways, we got a fun episode for you guys tonight. We're going to be talking about the thing that spooked everyone worldwide as children, the boogeyman. We're going to look into the lore and the history of the boogeyman, or as the Brits call it, the bogeyman, like Eastern Kentucky calls it, the booger man, which is weird, but whatever.
Probably because just like there's an R in water, you know.
Yeah, like
water.
I'm going to go wash my clothes with some water. We're assholes. So we're going to be talking about the boogeyman, but we are super pumped. I'm just excited, Josh, man. The desert is kind to me. It is very, very beautiful out here, and I cannot wait for you to see it and get eaten by a giant scorpion.
I know. The whole scene from the remake of what's that, Jason and the Argonauts, you know, the whole scene from the remake of that with the giant scorpions. What was it called? With the, it's got Liam Neeson.
Crawl.
The guy from, no. The guy who played Qui-Gon in Episode 1.
Liam Neeson.
Is that Liam Neeson?
Yes. Come on. You're supposed to have the photographic memory. Yes, it is Liam Neeson because it's my mom. My mom is in love with Liam Neeson, so I know.
Okay. I was just thinking it was somebody else. But anyways, it's got him as Zeus.
Oh, wait. Not Jason and the Argonauts. You're thinking of Clash of the Titans.
Clash of the Titans, yes. Yeah. But in that movie, they got the remake, those big giant scorpions, and so like it's my least favorite part of that movie.
Yeah, see, scorpions don't bother me, but spiders do. And watch Eight-Legged Freaks, and it's all set out in the desert, and I'm like, nope. Yeah. And it sucks because apparently tarantulas are out. Yeah, tarantulas are out here, and they are house pests. But it's like as much as I hate them and I don't want to touch them, I know they're not venomous to us and they're not aggressive. But I'm still like, get out of my house, you eight-legged hairy freak. So yeah, if I see a tarantula, I'm gonna probably poop myself.
Here's the thing: when you step on a small spider, it crunches. What happens when you step on a tarantula?
It pops and splatters.
I mean, it's like stepping on a rat.
I've seen it in horror movies because, back in before 1995, before animal harm stuff was a thing, they would just use real animals and kill them. And anytime there was a damn spider in a horror movie, it's always a damn tarantula and somebody's always stepping on them. And it's like, pop! It's gross.
Anyway.
Yeah, no.
Moving on.
Anyways, moving on. So let's go ahead and get into our segments for this week so we can get talking about the Boogeyman. And not to be confused with Mr. Boogity, which is a Disney movie.
Or Mr. Boogeyman. Boogeyman. Boogeyman.
Turn me on. Yeah.
No, not
so.
Not the
yeah,
same.
Not that. So let's go ahead and get things started with the psychic word of the week.
And now, the psychic word of the week.
That's right, psychic word of the week, which comes from the Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary by June G. Bletzer, PhD. Rest in peace, Honey Bear. I miss you, I love you, and I never even knew you. As usual, we use our psychic intuition since it is the psychic dictionary, and we flip through and land on a page and then just grab the first word or phrase that pops to us. And this week, the letter is C. That's where I turned to. And the phrase that I looked and saw first was controlled psychism. Sounds cool.
Okay.
Sounds cool. Yep. Sounds like a sex move as well. To perceive psychic information or psychic activity at one's own discretion only. Psychic has earned the right to communicate with a superior intelligence and has domination over his conscious and subconscious minds. Natural-born psychic is more apt to have psychic events occur at random. Uncontrolled psychism leads to an unhealthy body and spills over into and interferes with one's daily lifestyle. Daily sittings for a short period of time to open one's psychic doors, and only after meditation is the best method of taking charge of one's psychic skills. One exception to this statement is the skill of clairsentience, which means intuition or hunch ability, which is not harmful to one when it happens unexpectedly. So this is very, very interesting. And this reminds me of Professor X, whole idea that basically if you don't learn to control your powers, that it can be harmful or dangerous. And, in our world, psychic gifts are very similar, and so I agree with this 100%.
This is very fortuitous that this is the word that got chosen for
it. Always is,
because
it always is.
Because of the conversation that I had this morning with you and our good friend Santosh,
and I didn't do this on purpose. I mean, we always flip through and just find it, and it's amazing every time.
I know. But I mean, he said, unsolicited advice, be careful that you don't, burn yourself out when everything is just wide open.
Yep.
And I'm still learning how to control things. So,
religion can damage people that have psychic gifts because they are told that Carrie is a perfect example. I know that's a fictional example, yep. But Carrie is a perfect example whose mother made her like in this closet to do penance because her gifts were considered evil and stuff like that. And she broke and she snapped. And, you know, my sister, she was so afraid of these gifts because she was afraid that people would think she was crazy, which is kind of next to religion is the number one reason why people don't try to seek out answers for them, because they're told that it's an insane thing, insanity, yeah, craziness, and they're afraid of that. And so they just house it and they keep it, and it ends up hurting them. A lot of people that suffer from anxiety and depression more than likely have some sort of psychic gift like empathy or something like that, where they can see or feel things, but they're afraid to tap into it. So they're not dealing with that. And it causes depression and anxiety.
Or they are tapping into it and they don't know how to control it.
Same difference.
And it's controlling them. And to kind of throw back to your Carrie reference, I would even make the Harry Potter reference to the Grindelwald, you know, stuff with the newest movies with the kid who has to suppress his magical abilities because of his, you know, whatever guardian. And then he just, you know, goes crazy. So
yeah, I mean you could say the same thing really about anything, man. I mean, you look at these like these Pray the Gay Away camps, it's all very similar. Yeah. You know, it's that same thing, it's suppression. And it's dumb.
Well, and I do have some stuff I'm gonna talk about when we get to creepy ketchup that more directly relates to this word, but I'm gonna hold on to it for creepy ketchup.
But yeah, controlled psychism, I love it. I think it's great, and I love that this is something you're going through right now. And this word coming out should prove to you that you just need to keep on working and seeking answers and finding questions, because when you're open, you're vulnerable. And you know, that's the scary part about learning. As you go through this, it's like growing your hair out long. For like 3 months, you look like a douchebag, you know, and then your hair comes in and you're like, hello, I'm Fabio, you know, but it's like that time period where it's growing out. You're like, same thing.
Yeah. Then the next thing you know, you're growing a 70s porn stash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That takes 5 minutes. You know, if you're not me, if you're me, it takes about 3 years to grow a mustache. But yeah, anyways, yeah, that's the psychic word of the week. Thank you, June Bletzer. I know that you're here in this room pointing me in the right direction and guiding this podcast. That's what I say. And whenever I talk to her children, which I will eventually, I'm going to say she has been with me.
Yeah.
So anyways, let's go ahead and move right into spooky news. All right. So spooky news. I want to talk about this. We've talked about this before. A similar story with Keith, actually, many moons ago. But you and I have both been noticing that this keeps happening. And there is a flap of Mothman sightings happening in Illinois, Chicago area. We've got another one, but we've been posting every time we see a new Mothman sighting. They are all happening in Chicago. People are seeing them, but what?
But I would caution. I know that everybody says Mothman sighting because it's tall and it's winged and has red eyes.
Sure,
but that doesn't necessarily mean it's Mothman. The same Mothman that was seen in Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
No.
I would say it's a winged cryptid sighting, but everybody posts it as Mothman.
Sure. I would say Mothman with a lowercase m as opposed to an uppercase M, which would be the Point Pleasant Mothman. We'll call him Steve. But if it is indeed a cryptid, I doubt if it is a cryptid, we know then there's more than just one. And so this is possible. But I mean, who knows? There are some Point Pleasant folks that do believe it's the same creature, the same demon or portent of omens, you know, and that something crazy is going to happen in Chicago. Yeah. You know, that's who knows?
Well, you know, having listened to a lot of John Keel over the last 3 weeks, one of the things that he talks about a lot is that whenever there is a large cryptid type, or what he calls them as big hairy monsters is what he calls all
right, the BHMs
and all that. Big hairy monsters. Whenever he says, whenever there's a lot of sightings of big hairy monsters, it is always preceding a large UFO flap.
Right. And guess what? We have been seeing a huge UFO flap.
Oh, yeah.
And like I said, we first reported on this Mothman's first, and we don't even know if that was the first one, back with Keith during the Roland Doe episode. Is when we first talked about it, because that's where we got our joke, because Keith calls them all owls. So that tells you how long it's been.
And that was at the Chicago airport with a guy making a delivery at the airport, and he saw this thing standing at the end of the runway watching him.
Yep. And and I'll tell you what, I've been seeing a number of these stories throughout this past year, and there have been other sightings at that airport as well. And in fact, this area where this was sighted at is Schiller Park, which is near O'Hare Airport, just probably a half a mile from O'Hare. So there's also that. So I'm just going to throw that out there. So let me see here what this story is. So this comes from singularfortian.com, which is a fantastic site. It says the headline reads, mother and daughter report sighting of red-eyed winged demon in Schiller Park, Illinois, which means red-eyed winged purple people leader. But yeah, side question. Well,
we do have to do our Mothman rap eventually.
We do need to do that Mothman rap. And he's like, side question. Is it a purple people eater? Is he a purple creature that eats people, or is he a creature that eats purple people?
Both.
That's deep. That's some deep shit. So Ivan Ooze, be careful, buddy. Be careful. All right. Anyways, so here's what the article says. Manuel Navarrete of UFO Clearinghouse received a report recently from a woman who said that she and her mother witnessed a demon with red eyes and very large wings at around 9 p.m. on October 26th in Schiller Park, Illinois, a village out in the outskirts of Chicago's metropolitan area. And so one thing that I like about this is that she did not say, I saw Mothman. So, you know, she's not trying to feed that narrative of Mothman. She called it a red-eyed, large-winged demon, which tells me she probably doesn't even know what Mothman is, which I like. So
she's probably also Catholic.
Probably. According to the initial report received by Navarrete, she says, I had gone to the kitchen to make myself a cup of tea, and as I was filling the kettle with water, I heard my mother scream and then call out to me. I dropped what I was doing and ran to her and found her in the room with the lights off. She told me to keep the lights off and told me to come to the window and look out into the backyard with her. I looked out and I saw a large creature with red eyes and very large wings perched on the back fence. My mother was whispering, "Es un demonio," and started praying as we watched this thing. It was perched on the fence and it was looking side to side and kept slowly moving its wings. We looked at it for about a minute before it flapped its wings and flew off. It's a demon. The initial report came from a 32-year-old Hispanic woman who witnessed the creature alongside her 67-year-old mother. Navarrete said that he was able to interview them and speak with both witnesses the following Wednesday after their sighting. He confirmed the approximate time of the sighting along with details originally submitted in the report. He said the woman had been in the kitchen making herself tea when she heard the mother scream, prompting her to drop what she was doing and move towards her mother's bedroom. The witness indicated that her mother had fallen before and injured herself, and that's what she thought had happened. Upon entering her mother's room, she found the lights off and the mother standing by the window, and he just essentially reiterates by saying she saw what she described as a large humanoid creature perched upon the back fence. It was black with large jet black wings and human-like features, and when I asked her to go into detail, she said the creature looked like what she could only describe as a demon. The creature had human-like arms and legs, and its head was almost human, but with bright red eyes. When I pressed her for more details, she advised that it was dark and she was only about 25 feet away from where it was perched. She described the creature as looking all around and that it was moving slowly. with its outstretched wings moving slowly back and forth. Navarette added that the witness told him she had observed the entity for about a minute before it shot into the air and flew off out of sight. And that's when she grabbed her phone to think to take a picture. But of course, she didn't have an opportunity. She was not fast enough. Talks about the mother saying it. She said that the women went on to say that they were very uncomfortable speaking about it for fear of the entity returning, because she said that the mother said the shape reminded her of the depiction of a demon being struck down by Saint Michael in the famous painting, except this one was solid black and with red eyes. She said she also felt that this creature was on a mission, an evil mission in nature, but she would not expound any further. She did also mention that there were people in the neighborhood that knew she practiced brujeria, which is essentially Mexican witchcraft, and that this thing might have something to do with it. So it looks like she's a little bit nervous, because it looks like, you know, the Mexican version of voodoo, essentially. Yeah. It's a combination of old Mexican magic and Christianity, Catholicism. And it talks about, it goes in more, and it says about how it was close to O'Hare International Airport, which it says that there have been, which they are now dubbing the Lake Michigan Mothman. There have been at least 10 sightings just coming from the airport itself since August of 2019. Pretty crazy. And they talk a lot about that. And then there have been sightings about the Lake Michigan Mothman stretching back as far as 2017.
So I did go ahead and look it up. Schiller Park, Illinois, is literally next door to Chicago O'Hare Airport.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So, it's like right there.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, basically, this is just another fringe airport sighting that happened to be, you know, closer into a neighborhood.
Yeah. And apparently there is already a book that has come out called The Lake Michigan Mothman: High Strangeness in the Midwest. It's available on Amazon. This website here also has a link that shares the timeline of the sightings. So this guy has done some pretty solid work. I really love Singular 40, and I've been following this site for a bit now. It's pretty good. So, but yeah, this should be really, really, this is just a crazy time, man. Like, so, and
Well, and it's really interesting too, that in how it departed, mm-hmm, is very similar to Mothman in Point Pleasant, that it didn't flap its wings and take away. It just lifted off.
It's nuts to me, man. It reminds me of like Archangel from the X-Men, like when he got his metal wings, like because he just took off. So very, very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. But yeah, so that is our spooky news for the week. And I'm glad you were able to expound with me there, Josh, because I'm going to be keeping an eye on this. In fact, I may even try to reach out to Tobias Wayland, who wrote the Lake Michigan Mothman book. He did 2 years of research on this, like, just, you know, now there's all this new information that, so, you know, he's going to have a follow up. So definitely going to have to talk to this dude for sure. So, but anyways, yeah, that's spooky news. Let's go ahead and get to your area of funness. Let's get to the UAP sighting of the week. All right, UAP sighting of the week. This is our sighting from either MUFON or New Fork or wherever we're deciding to look up things, talking about unidentified aerial phenomenon that someone spoke, or the layman's term, UFO, that people understand. And what sighting do we have this week? What's going on?
Yeah, so this comes from Smolensk, Russia.
Ooh.
On September 2nd. At 1 o'clock local, 1 o'clock a.m. local time. So it says,
the sky was covered with clouds, so everything I saw was behind the clouds. I saw a small light that gradually approached and started to shine a bit more intensely. Then immediately, on a short distance from the light, I saw an immediate large flash of light, like we see the switch on the current. It was like three times that way. It switched on, off, on, off, on, off. Then, when it stopped, there were a series of radiant balls appearing, going up to a certain point, and then down, disappearing in the sky. It was like 10 minutes of that way. It stopped for about 10 minutes, then in another part of the sky, I again saw a small light that started to shine a bit more intensely. There was a large flash of light in that part of the sky, and it moved to another part of the sky where there were radiant balls 10 minutes later. After that, I stopped observation and went back home. There were other witnesses with me.
Wow, that's it's a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah. I mean, that's, but you know, that whole flashing thing. I mean, that's something that you and I have witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in tonight's Creepy Ketchup, I've got one that's like that I witnessed recently.
And
it does seem like that's becoming more of a thing. Like almost like, and I when I had mine the other night, I kind of thought of it this way. It's almost like they're waving hello to see if they get a response.
Sure. I mean, maybe that's also how, I mean, yeah, that could be how they communicate, is light.
Well, what I'm saying is like, you know, if that guy had a flashlight or something, if he would have blinked back, would that have generated a different result?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, ours, like the one in Point Pleasant where we flashed back, it played with it, like almost.
Yeah. Well, that one that we had at my house.
Yeah.
Back in the summer, that did the same thing. It played with it. And then we had that weird one come up, sneak up behind us, you know, and then shoot off. So,
yeah.
I mean, definitely, you know, Keel even talks about a lot about in his books about, people flashing their flashlights and things like that at, or headlight beams or something like that at UFOs and having the UFOs respond back to them. So, yeah, it's very interesting.
Well, it also kind of fits Andrea Perrin's kind of theories as well, like with music and just basically essentially that they are trying to communicate with us and all we have to do is figure out how to tap in.
Yeah.
So very, very, very interesting from the Ruskies. Thank you, comrade.
I don't think that's it.
That's my joke, because I know okay. that. I also know, what else Russian do I know? I also know Ivan Drago.
Oh.
From Rocky IV.
Yeah, from Rocky IV. Do you know him personally?
No, because he's a made-up fictional character. But I do know Dolph Lundgren impersonally.
Personally?
Yeah.
Do you?
He sits in front of me a lot whenever I watch his movies. He's right there. We're in the same
right
room.
There,
together.
Right in front of you.
I'm going to take a picture of me. I'm going to pause one of his movies and then take a picture with me next to the screen. Be like, yeah, I told you I knew this dude. He was at my house.
He's got a new commercial out. I saw him on TV today.
Yeah. He's
some kind of an investment something.
Yeah, like. I saw him too, and it's interesting because like with the Expendables coming back and bringing him on, his career started coming back as well. So I love it because I like Dolph, man. I've even gone back and watched some of his, like, you want to watch a ridiculous movie, watch Red Scorpion, which is a Dolph Lundgren movie from like 89. It is ridiculous action and it's fantastic and I highly recommend everyone watch it. but on that, thank you again for your UAP sighting of the week. Let's move to Creepy Ketchup.
Creepy Ketchup. Creepy Ketchup.
Creepy Ketchup.
Creepy Ketchup. Y'all, it's creepy.
Y'all, it's creepy. It's creepy for creepy. Sure. So Creepy Ketchup, I'll go first because I have a couple things that have happened. I actually have a follow-up to one from 2 weeks ago on the 100th anniversary episode, where I talked about where I saw that ball of light in the sky driving to my sister's house. And now I've talked to you about this, but our blanket huggers have not heard this. But again, another night, and I've actually got a picture of it. I was driving, and in that exact same spot was three lights in a triangle pattern. Massive, too big. I could see through it, so it wasn't like one giant ship or anything. Right. But it was just there, sitting there, bright as all get out. And like, I see a helicopter flying near it, and I'm like, man, is that a military helicopter trying to figure things out? But I was able to see. It also gave me depth. It showed me kind of how big it may be. It also showed me it was not moving. And then I go to my sister's house, and I picked up my nephew, and we're driving back. It's like 45 minutes to an hour later, still there, exact same position. It was like close enough to sunset that it was still, the sky was brightened up when I first saw it the first time. Right. So I saw it was not lights on a mountain. It was in the middle of the air. And so they were still sitting there. So I don't know if they were there anytime after. I mean, my time period for them is an hour, from when I saw it to when I saw it the second time. But I did take a picture and use that night vision, so it cleared it up, that I have on my phone. But it was pretty remarkable. And then when I was talking to you about it, we did some research. It's not near the airport. It's actually on the other side, South Phoenix. Basically, it's a big patch of desert. Now, we did find an old abandoned airport that was maybe 20 miles that's from
close to where it is. It's in the vicinity.
It's in the vicinity down I-10, and it's called the Gila River Memorial Airport. It was originally just a small airport, and then they bought it, and Chandler bought it, they were going to turn it into the Chandler's, like, rich white people airport. But that didn't happen. And so now it's owned by the reservation. And there's actually old jets and things, because we did a Google Earth view and looked down. You could see like old planes and some things like that. But yeah, from what I've read, do not go without, you have to get permission from the Native American tribal court or whatever they're called. I don't know. Yeah. I'm sorry. You have to get permission from them or you can get arrested. And from what I've heard, you don't ever want to get arrested in a reservation being a white man. So I've heard that.
Interesting.
Yep. So,
I mean, that picture is really interesting. And you know, you mentioned a triangle shape. It's the triangle shape is more, almost when you think about it, two dimensional, as far as, you know, looking at,
and it's inverted.
You're looking at the point is facing down. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just sitting there, just pause that. I almost feel like, why did you stop? Like, where were you going that was more interesting than watching UFOs?
Right, what are you doing? But then again, here I am in the land of the Phoenix Lights. And so, you know, I talked to some people about it that live around here, and they're like, oh, yeah, you'll see stuff all the time. Nobody knows what it is, and we just move on. We're used to seeing weird stuff. Like, that's like the conversation that I get. Like, ever since the Phoenix Lights, everybody's like, yeah, we don't know what it is. Probably aliens, but I don't.
I was thinking the other day, actually it was earlier today, how Keel, if he was still around, how he would react to the Navy capturing video of those three, because his later, you know, his later in life conclusions was that most UFO sightings were hallucinations, not necessarily like that you made them up, but just that all of the sighting really only took place in the contactee's mind.
Right.
And so for us to be able to catch those things on video, really takes it to a whole nother level. I just wonder what his response or what his reaction would have been.
Yeah. It's very interesting, because, you know, I talked about my sister not believing in UFOs and stuff. And so when I picked up my nephew, it was funny because, you know, I was like, I had him look, and he immediately goes, those are UFOs, Uncle Stephen. And I was like, do you believe in UFOs? He's like, yes, do you? And so then he goes on and like starts talking to me about UFOs and aliens and all these books he's been reading. And I was just like, that's my blood. But he reminds me of me at that age. I was obsessed with the occult and like supernatural stuff when I was that age. And I would just get books from the library and that's what I read. Well, that's what he does. He watches all these videos on YouTube and like all this stuff on UFOs and aliens and all these documentaries. And he's just like, yeah, these things are for real. And then he started asking me some legit questions about the sightings that you and I had, about my possible abduction story from when I was a kid, like all kinds of stuff, dude. Like he was on it. And so I'm very, very anxious to get him a Christmas present now, because I'm going to hook him up with something good, some sort of book that's going to be good. I just don't know which one yet. But yeah, so anyways, I had another UFO sighting as well and a ghost sighting all in the same evening. Happened to be Halloween. My sister is a full moon, everything like that. So we decided to go. I was looking up on Google observatories, because I'm like, man, I'm out in the desert. There's got to be good observatories here to see the sky. And I always wanted to see through a big telescope and stuff like that. But what I found was that there was an observatory deck on top of what's called Humboldt Mountain. Now, it's only like 50 miles from where I live, but it takes forever because you're up in the mountains on these like back dirt roads and everything, but they're legit little highways. This is in the Tonto National Forest, not too far from Roosevelt Lake, which we've talked about before, and it's over by the Horseshoe Reservoir. And anyway, so we get up to the top, and it's this big golf ball shaped crazy thing that's surrounded by a fence, and which I later found out was it's an FAA radar system is what I found out it was. But it's all completely fenced in. And then like there's a little small road that goes, and then there's radio antennas over there, which you can drive right up to. It's really, really cool. So the possible cryptid site. Okay, so man, there's all kinds of stuff. So anyways, scary thing. I was like, man, everything looks so black. Like we're looking down the mountain range, and everything looked so black. And which, by the way, the mountains that are surrounding you looked eerie as hell, because it was mostly cloudy, but the moon was still kind of shining, and so it lit up the clouds, which just vaguely lit up and it was misty and stuff, and so it just looked like this painting, this backdrop with this black mountain with like a very dark purple sky, stuff like that. But anyways, there's all this like black on the ground, and we're like, what is it? It's hard to see. And so as we like get up closer to like where the trail is that goes around the fenced area, I noticed that there's burnt things. Well, I quickly Google searched, and apparently like a month ago there was a wildfire that like hit that entire area. That's why there was like no trees, no nothing. Oh. It wiped it out. And so all that black we were seeing was ash and burn.
Ash. Yeah.
And like they were able to stop it because the park system and stuff, the US government owns this area. There's big signs on this fence that say US government property, do not trespass or your ass is grass type shit. And so my sister and I were like, let's go walk around it. So we wanted to see if we could walk the entire fence line, which, by the way, we're there at like midnight is when we got there. So it's already super late Halloween night, and we're walking around this thing, and it's super scary. We hear this rustling in the fenced area. We can see almost everything, but there's bushes and stuff because that area didn't burn and stuff. But then we would stop, the rustling would stop. We would move. A couple seconds after we begin to move, we hear rustling behind us along the fence line. And we're like, what the hell? And I had already made a joke. I'm like, yeah, find it weird that this is U.S. government property, that even the fire tower that's on there, you can't get into. And I was like, makes you wonder what actually is here. Because there was like two buildings that said, do not like get close to this building. And then there's a door, but it's too small to house anything. I'm like, those are stairs that go under the mountain.
Yep.
And so me and my sister are like, God, what are they doing in here, man? And so, of course, we're starting to talk about like any kind of like secret aliens or like experiments and stuff like that. And then like we're hearing this rustling, and I mean we would literally go, we would stop, rustling would stop. And we were like, oh my God. And Trish was like, what is following us? And it's like, we could both see something out of the corner of her eye, but as soon as we turn and look, nothing, you know, type thing. So that freaked us out. So we were like, man, gotta be a ghost sighting, gotta be a ghost sighting or a cryptid. So anyways, we get up there. I'd also brought my Ouija board. So we decided to do Ouija on top of the mountain. And well, I got cold. I finally got cold. And so my sister and my wife were continuing on. And I was kind of just looking around, taking pictures of the stars and of the mountains and stuff. Because that cool night vision, I was actually able to take a picture of the land and the freaking reservoir like it was freaking daytime.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. But anyways, I noticed in the sky a freaking UAP. And it was like, to me, it looked like the size of like a fingernail. And I tried to take pictures of it, and it seemed like it had to be made of light the way that it was distorted. If you zoomed in on it, it wasn't like this solid straight line. But I mean, I followed it for quite some time. I mean, you could see the pictures that I sent you. I mean, I followed it all the way till it was over the city in terms of the area that I was looking. No noise. I, of course, checked my plane app. There's nothing in that area. I have no idea what it was, but it was really small, like a pinky nail. I mean, it was just the oddest thing. And then, of course, we had fun on the Ouija board, you know, talking to, you know, a Native American guy that apparently died up there, and all kinds of crazy stuff. So it was pretty cool. Pretty cool evening, I must say. I highly recommend Humboldt Mountain. But apparently I found out, oh, by the way, if I had gone during the day, I would have seen the big walkway that goes out into the middle of nothing, because it's for hang gliders. You go off. It's a big wooden dock. Yeah, that launches off. And we never even saw it because it was so dark. I'd never even saw it. But I'm like, oh, man, I wonder how many people didn't.
Yeah, walk off. Yeah, y'all probably got lucky you didn't walk off the edge of that thing.
Right.
Next time, bring a flashlight.
Yeah, well, we did. We had our cell phone flashlights, but you know how that goes. Yeah. But yeah, needless to say, it was a very interesting evening. But yeah, that's essentially my creepy catch up. So what do you got? You got anything going on?
Yeah, I got a couple things. So like we talked, you know, earlier, and we've been talking about lately, I've been trying to open myself up a little bit more psychically, which, number one, to say out loud, just like, I'm like, I question whether or not I'm sane sometimes.
What did I say in the beginning of the show? I don't know, but I mean, I feel like crazy people don't question their sanity.
True. I mean, so like anything that I have that I experience, I typically go back and I process through it. And I try to say, you know, is there another explanation for what I experienced? You know, I try to debunk basically my experiences to make sure. But anyway, so I've been opening myself up more. And because of that, I've been seeing a lot of things. Like,
nice.
I went out a couple nights ago to just, like, I've just been getting these urges to go out and look at the sky. So I just go out and I look at the sky. Oh, I know what it was. It was actually Halloween night. It was a full moon. I went out late at night and was just taking some pictures of the moon and looking at the moon and stuff. And I decided to walk around to the front yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw two shadowy figures in the front yard. I mean, I saw them out of the corner of my eye, and I looked in that direction, and I still saw them. I mean, like, anytime I've ever had that happen before, I see stuff out of the corner of my eye, and I look, and there's nothing there. Yep. This was like, I looked, and I could still see them there. I came home one night from, had to go into the store. I came home. There were two shadowy figures standing against the fence line along my road that looked like they had, like, hats on, like, straight up. Typical 1940, 50.
Oh, so men in black hats.
Men in black type stuff, but just like completely blacked out.
Interesting. That kind of changes things.
Yeah. Let's see what else.
Or it could have been three little kids trying to pretend to be an adult to get into an R-rated movie.
That's true. They weren't wearing a trench coat, though.
Oh, so. I just assumed with the fedora that they had a trench coat on.
So two nights ago, I went out to take some Starfield photos. Mm-hmm. If you haven't played around with your pro camera settings, all of those pictures that I sent you guys were taken with that camera. But yeah, I mean, I went out, took some great Starfield settings with the tripod, mm-hmm. with the camera on my Samsung phone, and they were spectacular. But anyways, at one point in time, I decided to try to mess with the pro video settings to see if I could get some Starfield video. And so I was standing there in the backyard, my phone is recording, pointing up at the sky, and I hear this rustling. Out by on the driveway, it sounds like footsteps scuffing against the pavement. Mm. And I look over in that direction, and I don't see anything. Well, then I hear I kind of look, and it stops. Well, I look back, going back to like looking up at the sky and everything. I hear it again. This time though, it's moved into like the grass, and I kind of hear this kind of like walking noise through the grass. And I look over again, I don't see anything, and it stops. And I look back up to the sky. So it did that probably two or three times until finally it moved like kind of behind me, not like directly behind me, probably like 20 feet away, but it was definitely behind me at that point. And I turned around and I clapped real quick. And I was like, hey, and I clapped. And then, it kind of rustled one more time, and then I glanced back up to my left, which would have been in the western sky at about 45 degrees, and a light flashed at me in the sky three times. Like it just flashed,
three.
Flash, flash. Yeah, and I was like, crap. So like I grabbed the camera that was recording and like I shifted it around, and I was like, but then of course it never did anything again.
Right.
And then I went inside and like because I didn't have my laser pointer on me, so I went inside and got that, and I shined it up in the area where it had happened, and nothing else. I mean, nothing else ever happened. I stood out there for probably another 20 minutes, still nothing, never
ain't
happened.
That a bitch. Like that's just yeah, the way so, it is, man.
Which I mean, like it wasn't a plane. I did check my apps. No, it wasn't a bird. It wasn't
then it
Superman.
Was Superman.
Yeah, it was not Superman. Oh, no, okay. Superman doesn't glow. It might have been.
He can.
If he's irradiated with kryptonite.
Or irradiated with sunshine.
True, he's walking on sunshine. Anyways, but I mean, what was really odd about the whole thing is that where it flashed from, it didn't move from that position. An airplane would have moved. A helicopter, I would have heard. It was like, but I mean, when it flashed, it was bright. I mean, I used to have a, back when I did pizza delivery, I had a cigarette lighter powered 1 million candle power spotlight, which was always fun to take down to the Ohio River and spotlight barges as they went by. Mm-hmm. But anyways, until so you get the cops called on you for doing that. Don't do that, people.
Don't. Especially in Point Pleasant.
Yeah. So, but I used to have one of those, and so I know how bright 1 million candle power spotlights are. That's what it was like from up in the sky. It was that bright. And like I said, it flashed three times. So, from there, I mean, I've had a couple other little things with meditation and stuff that has happened. Today, though, I decided to go for a nice little walk before I started work. And, I saw a figure standing in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of out of the when I looked into the woods, I saw this figure, and I did a double take, and it wasn't there anymore.
It's a Blair Witch.
Yeah. When I came home, I've been seeing shadows out of the corner of my eye all day long.
Go ahead.
At one point in time earlier today, I was at my desk, which I have two computers on my desk. I have my personal computer, my work computer, and I was reading an email on my work computer. So I had my elbows propped on the desk, and, you know, I'm just sitting there reading this email. And the mouse for the computer next to me moved, which woke the computer up. That's at the same time I saw a shadow move out of the corner of my eye.
That's fantastic.
What's really interesting about that, though, is that I was engrossed in the email I was reading. And if that hadn't moved, I wouldn't have realized that it was after time for me to go pick up my kids.
See, they are helping you. That's it was your granddaddy like,
you want to go get my great grandkids, please?
So what were you going to ask?
Wow. Oh, I was just saying, isn't it funny, though? You know, like my theory of how once you're open to things, you can't stop seeing them, like the whole Jeep thing. Like, and here it is, we see these shadow figures at your house. Now, I've seen them before throughout my life, but it's essentially the first time you've really seen something, and now you're seeing them. Like, it's like all of a sudden your brain has registered what it is you're seeing, and so it now catches them. Like, it sees them quicker.
And it's funny. In all the cases where I've seen them since that night, I have never, ever felt threatened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just feel like they're just hanging out.
Good. You know, I mean, you think about Close Encounters of the Third Kind, like that was like Richard Dreyfuss's whole thing. He's like, stop being afraid of them. Like, you know, I want to speak to them. I want to see what this is. So good. Because I feel like you'd know, especially with your psychic awareness being opened up, I feel like you would know. If they were bad, and you would be like, kids, like Poltergeist, we are going to a hotel, like it's done.
But yeah, so that's my so like I said, the reason that psychic word of the week was for Tourist is because I posted a little bit of that in our chat with Santosh this morning, and he said, hey, you know, when you're really open like that, it's really easy to get bombarded until you figure out how to control it, and that's basically what the word tonight, you know, was talking about. So
yep, nice. All right, well, let's get moving so we can get talking about the boogeyman before it gets so super duper late for you. But quickly, we want to take a quick ad break because we want to share a commercial with you to talk about one of our newest podcasts on the Fearscape Media Network, which is the Antagonists All Villain Podcast, starring Lance Wayne and Sam Tuohy. If you like villains, you're going to love this podcast, so check it out.
Hello there. My name is Sam.
And I'm the man with no name, Lance Wayne.
And we're the hosts of The Antagonists, an all-villain podcast. You can join us every other Thursday for a new episode as we discuss all of your favorite villains from books, movies, and more.
Are the villains you love to hate really as wicked as they seem? Tune in and find out.
You can find us on all major podcast platforms or join us over on fearscapemedia.com.
Heard us talk about all the amazing books we've been able to listen to on Audible. Everything from fiction to sci-fi to true crime and more. Audible is the leader in the audiobook industry with a library of over 200,000 audiobooks. Start listening now by going to fearscapepodcast.com/audible.
All right, we are back. Thank you guys for sticking around and listening to our AdSense, not nonsense, but AdSense. But yeah, please go support those other podcasts and all that stuff. But let's get talking about the boogeyman, as Harry Potter would call it. What's going on with the boogeyman? Give me some history and lore on this. I want to know.
Yeah, so the boogeyman
it's scary.
He's been around for a long time.
Yeah, I feel like it's like the OG monster.
The earliest account is from the 1500s. So the earliest written documentation is from the 1500s. But the word boogie is believed to be derived from Middle English of bogey, B-O-G-G-E, or B-U-G-G-E, which means something frightening or scarecrow. Interesting enough.
Really? So what did you say that was Old English? Is that what you said?
Middle English.
Middle English. Okay. Still, though, that's very, very interesting. Yeah.
Theories on its origin include a root meaning of goat, which is also interesting with the stuff that we've been looking at and stuff with similarities with goats and
goats the Capella are always star. At the center of stories, too. I mean, you look at the goat man, chupacabras always trying to eat goats. Like,
there's
and goats are always traditionally evil. You know, black Peter and stuff like that.
Yeah. There's a cognate of the German bogue or bogelmand, which means goblin. And it could be influenced in a meaning of Old English called Buddha, used in compounds for beetle.
Interesting.
A related word, bugbear.
Oh no, that just sounds awful.
meaning
half bug, half bear, still gonna eat your picnic basket.
meaning goblin or scarecrow, and bear was imagined as a demon in the form of a bear that eats small children. It was also used to mean a general object of dread. The word bugaboo.
Now that I've heard used, I always just thought it was gibberish that people just picked up.
Well, it's really interesting. I sometimes refer to my kids. So like,
right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I've called my dog, my wife, hey there, bugaboo.
Time to go to bed, bugaboo.
It's crazy to think that some of that weird shit that we say has like crazy scary meanings, I know.
In Southeast Asia, the term is popularly supposed to refer to boogies or booganees, which are basically pirates.
I've had booger knees before.
Booger knees? Is that where somebody wipes a booger on your knee?
Mm-hmm. Or it's like when you don't have a napkin and so you just wipe them on your pants.
Or like the guy from... Golden Child that gets it on his jacket, and Eddie Murphy's like, "That's going to scratch you in your sleep one night."
I love that movie, man.
Anyways,
I got the knife.
Hey. these pirates are often plagued early English and Dutch trading ships, and so it's popular belief that this is the resulted in European sailors bringing their fear of the boogeymen back to their home countries. However, etymologists disagree with this because words relating to boogeymen were in common use centuries before the Europeans colonized Southeast Asia. In Lao dialects in Eastern Africa, the term booga means to scare.
God, there's another thing. Booga, booga, booga.
Yeah. I know.
That's so funny. I mean, you always see that in the old movies, especially when they have like African tribes and stuff. They're always like booga booga booga. And I'm like, that's the only word that these old white directors said we got to use is the one that means scary.
Right.
Okay, that makes sense. It makes sense.
So a little bit of the physical description and the personality. You know, basically what I found is the description of the boogeyman differs on a cultural level. There are often some shared similarities of the creatures. Many of the boogeymen are depicted as having claws, talons, and sharp teeth. Along with that, the majority of boogeymen are of the spirit variety, while the minority are demons, witches, and other legendary creatures.
Mothman.
Yeah. I mean, you'll see. Hold on. I'll get
jumping
to it.
The gun. Jumping the gun. Sorry, I was time bending my controlled psychism.
Yeah, exactly. Some are even described to have certain animal features such as horns, hooves, and bug-like appearances. So you think about people who talk about the insectoid race. Is that related to boogeyman? I mean, is that maybe where the boogeyman comes from? It's the insectoid race that
I always think that these like old wives' tales and these old like legends and cryptids and all that stuff have basis in some sort of real thing that we just don't understand because we see them as fairy tales. Grimm's Fairy Tales is a perfect example about how like vanilla they are now compared to what they originally were, you know.
Well, I didn't know this about Grimm's Fairy Tales, but apparently they wrote a number of books, and some were very much not meant for children.
Like the fairy tales.
Well, but I mean, like some are like really go into a lot of detail.
Huh. I never thought to look to see if they wrote anything else. So that's interesting.
And, you know, I'm going to say the name. And people listen like, oh, my God, you're such a Kiel fanboy. But I really Kiel is what who said that there was more Grimm books. So,
yeah. Okay.
Anyways. So, let's see here. Personality traits of a boogeyman or bogeyman, depending. They are most easily divided into three categories. The kind that punishes misbehaved children, the kind that are more prone to violence, and the kind that protect the innocent. They are all relate in some in the same way, being that they all exist to teach young children lessons. The large majority of boogeymen are there to just frighten children with punishments and not actually inflict much damage.
That sounds a lot like Krampus and some of those Christmas anti-Santa Claus type things.
Yep. So again, jumping the gun. I'll get there.
Oh, psychic.
The more vicious
rest in peace, Sean Connery.
Is said to steal the children at night and even eat them. The last category is the boogeyman who protect people and only punish the guilty, regardless of age. Because of such a global impact, it makes it difficult to find the original source of the legends. The first reference to the boogeyman would be considered the hobgoblins, described in England in the 1500s.
Oh, so the hobgoblins are tied in with the boogeyman. That's interesting. I didn't know that at all. I guess talking about possible demon-ish, because interesting.
It says that many believed that they were made to torment humans, and while some only played simple pranks, others were more foul in nature. It says that what I found is boogeyman-like beings are almost universal, common to the folklore in many countries. So it's kind of like, I think when we had Ken Gerhardt on and we were talking about Bigfoot sightings all over the place and how people are, and I think we may have even touched on this when we had Connor on, is how people report them local, like how they call them local. But the similarities between the creatures, is it really just all the same race or whatever of creature, and we give them local names?
That has very much happened with Sasquatch. I mean, you know, like people think that there's a difference between Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Skunk Ape, Dogman, things like that, but really when you break them all down, they're all just Sasquatch. And then you get into Yeti and things like that, though Yeti really starts to get into almost a subspecies, you know, or Sasquatch is a subspecies, but you know what I mean? Polar bear versus grizzly bear.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't want to go too far down this path, but when you look at people, there are different, I hate to use the word race because we're all human race, but anyways, there are different, I don't know how you'd say it. There are different types of people. There could be different types of Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah, well, you could talk about it in terms of animals. There are different breeds of dogs.
Right, exactly. All right, so this gets to your Krampus mention. Sackman.
Oh, that just sounds awful, and it sounds like a super scary kids movie.
It also could be a porn. I don't know.
True. I was looking at it from a British standpoint, because sack is like any bag that they use as a sack.
But in many
countries, I tried not to.
I was channeling Santosh on that one. In many countries, a boogeyman variant is portrayed as a man with a sack on his back who carries naughty children away.
Yeah, bad.
This is true for, yep, this is true for many Latin countries, such as Chile, Brazil, Portugal, Spain, and the countries of Spanish America, where it's referred to as the hombre del costal, or hombre del saco.
So the brother of the bag, or is that what that means? Or no, hombre.
It
is
says
friend.
It basically. Wait. Yeah. So it basically says the sack / bag man is
okay.
What it.
Oh yeah, hombre is male. That's right. Okay.
There's also El Roba Chicos, meaning child stealer. Similar legends are also very common in Eastern Europe, in the Bulgarian Torbalan as Sackman, as well as Haiti and some countries in Asia.
Interesting. And again, here are the things that make me go, you know, it's like, here are these legends that have happened all over the world and come from a time where we didn't, everyone was separate, you know, like it's just, it's crazy to ghosts are another thing. It's like, there are legends of ghosts in China that go back thousands of years, while at the same time, legends of ghosts in England, you know? And it's like, how are they creating the same idea?
Right.
You know, like,
well, yeah, so I mean, I think it would be different if there was one legend and you found that legend told all over the world.
Right.
In this case, there are multiple legends all bearing similar traits all over the world.
Right. Dragons are another one. Like how there were stories of dragons. Now, granted, we can say that because they found dinosaur bones and that's what they thought. I can justify that one more than ghosts. Just this idea that there's a holographic image of someone who's passed on. Come on.
So next up on the list, we have El Coco.
Chocolate.
This was a really insightful that I love this. So in Spain, parents would sing lullabies or tell rhymes to children, warning them that if they do not sleep, El Coco would come to get them. Great parenting, by the way.
Right, that was the such rhyme, a thing, though, was to scare your kids. Like, that was the thing, man.
I know.
Like, don't let the bed bugs bite. Like, that's still a right. We still have those things.
The rhyme originated in the 17th century and has evolved over the years, but it still retains its original meaning. Coconuts received that name because the hairy brown face created by the coconut shells, three indentations, reminded the Portuguese sailors of Coco. From
so
the
they,
story of Coco.
Now I'm going to make a connection, okay? Now I understand the three shells from Demolition Man, because Coco is brown, which is poop. And that's what the three shells in the bathroom and Demolition Man, it's all tied together.
But there's a pink one and a turquoise one. What are those for?
That's because we're all fancy now. It's like, you know, glass. Your glasses originally were made of like pewter or stone or even wood, right? So those just had a similar color. Now you get plastic and all sorts of different colors and all kind of crazy stuff. So,
well, what if somebody's colorblind?
Then they get gray, black, or white, or 50 shades.
I don't think
of
it
gray.
Matters. I mean, they could get red and they wouldn't know it.
That's true.
So, anyways, I just thought it was really interesting about the coconut, that's where the coconut name came from, is that it's a callback to El Coco.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is, again, I love etymology, so very cool.
Yeah. Latin America also has El Coco, although its folklore is usually quite different, commonly mixed with native beliefs, and because of cultural context, sometimes more related to the boogeyman of the United States. However, the term El Coco is used in Spanish-speaking Latin American countries, such as Bolivia, Colombia, Guatemala, Peru, Mexico, El Salvador, Honduras, and the Dominican Republic, although there is more usually called El Coco El Cuoco is in Puerto Rico, Chile, so on and so forth. I'm not going to name all the countries again. among Mexican Americans, El Cuque, Cuque, C-U-C-U-Y. How would you pronounce that?
I like Cuque. That sounds cool.
Okay. It's portrayed as an evil monster that hides under children's beds at night and kidnaps or eats the child that does not obey his or her parents or go to sleep when it's time to do so.
Dang, man. Quit scaring your children.
I know. I always thought it was bad that, like, you know, if I didn't go to sleep on Christmas Eve, Santa Claus wouldn't visit me and give me presents. I mean, that's what I would.
Now they got Elf on the shelf to make it worse. Like, you got a guy watching you. Like, all in your home, well, like, Santa was just omnipotent, you know, like, he was just rolling, but you're like, nah, I don't see him, though. So.
Have you seen The Minch on a Bench?
No.
My sister got one, because her husband's Jewish. It's like a little Jewish rabbi-looking guy, like, he's got the...
That's
the,
awesome.
And it's called Minch on a Bench. So, anyways.
That's fantastic.
I digress. So, however, the Spanish-American boogeyman does not resemble the shapeless or hairy monster of Spain. Social sciences professor Miguel Manuel Medrano says popular legend describes El Cuque as a small humanoid with glowing red eyes that hides in closets or under the bed. Some lore has him as a kid who was the victim of violence, and now he's alive, but he's not.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which I kind of like the idea of, there's like a couple movies that are based on that, right? That it's like the whole The Crow, right? That's what that's about. Dude gets murdered, but yet he gets to come back.
Yeah.
And kind of right the wrong.
Yep.
Yeah. The same thing with the movie The Wraith with Charlie Sheen.
The original Crow. I love that movie. My sister and I, we were driving and there was a car and it had a headlight that was like this bar that went across, as well as the two, like, it was the weirdest thing I ever saw. I was like, Trisha, that's The Wraith. We gotta get out of here.
Know what car you're talking about? It's a Kia. I can't remember the model, but
oh, is that? I'd never. I only saw it at night, so I had no idea. But it was bright as hell.
So. I have like weird superhero superpowers. I can look at the headlights of any vehicle and tell you what kind of car it is.
You are a car nerd, so I totally believe that.
I've also spent a lot of time driving, but anyways. Yep. So next upon the list is the Babo. Babar is different. He's a little elephant boy.
What's interesting is before you even get into this, my nephew, when he was a kid, had an imaginary friend named Babo.
It's spelled B-A-B-A-U.
And we always thought he was saying Babo and that it was our grandpa Bob who had died. But, like, it could have been Babo. Like, tell me what it is.
So, in the countries of Central and Eastern Mediterranean, children who misbehave are threatened with a creature known as Babo. He is portrayed as a tall man wearing a heavy black coat with a black hood or hat which hides his face. Also sounds like the Men in Black. Sometimes parents will knock loudly under the table pretending that someone is knocking at the door and say something like, "Here comes El Humero Nero. He must know that there's a child here who doesn't want to drink his soup." There's a widespread nursery rhyme, which I'm not going to even attempt the proper. I'm just going to read the English, which is lullaby, lullo. Who do I give this child to? I will give him to the boogeyman, who's going to keep him for a whole year.
Wow.
It's a great lullaby, by the way. Just fantastic.
Dude, and I will tell you, in classic D&D fashion, there usually any ancient monster tends to be in Dungeons & Dragons, and I just looked up Babo, and Babo is in both Dungeons & Dragons as well as Pathfinder, and both versions are creepy as hell.
So it says here that Babo does not eat or harm children, but instead takes them away to a mysterious and frightening place. Now, I'm going to go off on a limb here and say if Babo is an MIB and he takes them away to the Darrows, that would be a frightening place.
That would be a frightening place. Yeah. Frightening place. And, you know, it could be hellish.
Yeah. So, next up we have Bootsman. This is Germanic. The Germanic folklore has dozens of different figures that correspond to the boogeyman. These have various appearances, such as a gnome, a man, an animal, a monster, a ghost, a devil, etc., 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 to channel Gene Wilder, and are sometimes said to appear at very specific places, such as in forests, bodies of water, cliffs, cornfields, and vineyards. These figures are called by many different names, which are often only regionally known. One of these, possibly etymologically related to the boogeyman, is the Bootsman, which can be a gnome-like or other demonic or ghostly appearance. Other
it's also,
examples
it's also
include
a lame Batman. Yeah, I am Bootsman. I'm here to save you from the Jokers. I am the Bootsman.
It reminds me of the old G.I. Joe cartoon where it was like they would get a call and he would say, "I am the Viper. I will be there on Friday." And then they all like scramble to get stuff ready for the Viper, and it's like then he calls and, "I am the Viper. I am coming tomorrow." And then, you know, then he finally shows up and he's like, "I am the Viper. I am here to wash and wipe your windows."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a similar version of that in one of the scary stories to tell in the dark books that talk about the Viper. Yeah.
So, the gnome-like...
Okay.
also known as the Dark Man, an inhuman creature which hides in the dark corners under the bed or in the closet and carries children away.
Not to be confused with Liam Neeson. The Dark Man.
There's apparently a children's game called Verhat Angst Vorm Schworn Man, which is basically translates to "Who is afraid of the boogeyman?"
Mm.
So I wonder if that's...
Don't play that game.
I wonder if that's like the German version of the Candyman thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have to, you know.
I know. Now I want. Man, this is why I wish I had my brother Dustin on speed dial and available 24 hours, so I could just call him and talk to him about anything like Middle European. There.
I feel like we need the lifelines from
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Millionaire, yeah. We're gonna phone a friend.
Right.
So getting into some other examples here of boogeymen around the world. In Afghanistan, the Madar Aal is a nocturnal hag that slaughters infants in their cribs and invoke to frighten children into obedience. Yeah. Burning the seeds of the wild rue and fumigating the area around the baby will often offer protection against her. In Albania, the Bubba, or Bubba, B-U-B-A, is a serpentine monster.
Okay, I got it. You know the story about our old friend, we'll just call him Nathan. And about the time him and I went to Toys R Us and there was an albino guy that was the bagger there. And As we were leaving, I was just like, man, I'd never seen. I mean, this guy was your classic albino. He had the red eyes, the white hair. I'd never seen anyone fully fledged albino. And I was like, man, Nathan, did you see that albino? And he looks at me and goes, how do you know that guy's from Albania? And well, I was just like, I'm done with you.
This is the same guy that when he found out that somebody wanted to be an engineer, was questioning why they would want to drive trains for a living.
Why they would want to drive trains, yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with driving trains. It's
nothing.
There's a lot of
especially
stuff.
Especially high on cocaine. You can do what you want, but yeah. sorry, I had to share that story because that's what I think of anytime I hear Albanian.
Every time you hear Albanian. I always think about the Dilbert cartoons because there's a lot of there's the Albanians.
Mm-hmm.
But, so also in Albania is the Gogol, G-O-G-O-L. And it's a terrible giant that
I've
frightens
heard of
children
that. That's another one I've heard of before. These almost just be in D&D. That's why.
Well, they just steal them. They just steal them from the lore.
So. Yeah. How did you spell that? G-O-G-O-L?
Yep.
Wow.
There's the Lubia, which is a female demon. Yeah.
Well, that's close to labia.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's connected.
I wonder. The female demon is an insatiable appetite for the flesh of children, especially girls. She has many heads from 7 to 100, and like the Greek Hydra, is one head is severed and the others will grow in its place.
God, that's cool.
Gonna skip around here a little bit. In Belize, the Tata Duindi.
So the booby man. It's Tatas, right?
Yeah. Is a mythical goblin described as being a small stature with a beard, wrinkles, backwards feet, and a large brimmed hat. And lacking thumbs.
Oh, no thumbs. That's so weird.
No thumbs.
And this is cool because it's like I'm sitting here thinking like, man, people that are making new books and movies and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
I know.
Stop using all the same thing. Just looking up boogeyman around the world, we found so many cool ass monsters that would be amazing in these movies.
Yeah. Like this thing right here with the no thumbs. I mean, could you imagine? It's like,
oh yeah. There's no rubbing your back there. That's for sure. Good back scratcher though.
Good back scratcher with his long nails. Let's see, is protector of the forest and animals and was used to scare children from going out to play at night or going into the jungle. In Bosnia and Serbia and North Macedonia, the boogeyman is called Baba Roga. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's close to Baba Yaga. I wonder if they're related at all, like a male-female version.
Yeah, I don't know. Baba meaning old woman.
Yep.
And Rogovia meaning horns, literally meaning old woman with horns.
Interesting.
The details vary from one household to another. In one version, Baba Roga takes children, puts them in a sack, and then when it comes to its cave, it eats them. And another version, it takes children and pulls them up through tiny holes in the ceiling.
I mean, some of that's similar to Baba Yaga, which is Russian, for the most part, Eastern European Russian. If you're not familiar with Baba Yaga, Baba Yaga is the witch that had the house that was on chicken legs. It was that would run around with chicken legs and stuff. And yeah, she would steal children and put them in a sack and stuff like that too. So yeah, I bet you. You know, because you're looking at very close parts
very
of
close,
Europe,
yeah,
but different enough for them to be like different, but maybe have come from the same root somewhere.
Yeah. In Brazil and Portugal, a monster more akin to the boogeyman is called Bico Papoya. That's my best guess. Or Eating Beast.
That sounds cool.
Or Sirocco, which means deep-voiced man. A notable difference between it and the Homum de Saco is the latter is a daytime menace and the Baco Papayo is a nighttime menace. Another important difference is the Homum de Saco or Sack Man usually kidnaps children who go to places without parents' authorization, while the Bico Papayo scares naughty children and hides under the beds, closets, or roofs. This next one we talked about when we did our talking about Native American lore, and this is an Inuit mythology. There is a shape-shifting creature called the Illadrak that kidnaps children to hide them away and abandon them.
Like, if again, how are there all these stories about a creature that kidnaps bad children? Like, it had to start somewhere. It couldn't be like all parents through time were like,
we need to use a story to scare the shit out of our kids so they stay in bed.
Yeah, you know? I know. Like... the last part of this one is close to something, so I'll touch on that when I get there. So the children can convince the Illadrak to let them go. They can use the Inukshuk of stone to find their way home.
That I've heard.
Also from Inuit mythology is the Qualapelek, which we talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Which are human-like creatures with long fingernails, green skin, and long hair that live in the sea.
Man, that's creepy. It almost makes me think of that scene in Two Towers or Return of the King where Frodo falls into that lake with all the dead folk like in that pond or whatever. That's what that just reminded me of.
Well, what this reminds me of is the the thought that the whole, like, Evansville, the beast, you know, clawed beast of the Ohio.
Oh, the clawed beast. Oh, my God. Yes. Yes, for sure.
So what is interesting here is that they carry babies and children away in their amuleti, which is the, you know, the sack that goes on the back that Inuit use, if they disobey their parents and wander off alone. The Qualapelek adopt the children and bring them to live with them underwater.
And that's how Atlantis was started.
Yeah.
And what if that was? What if, I mean, you know. Yeah. What if that's where that comes from? What if there's an underwater city, Atlantis, you know, so to speak, or something like that, or mermaids and things like that?
Yeah.
And, you know, like, that's where some of these legends came from.
Well, it kind of, like, it even goes back to, this is a little more of a Star Wars reference, but the Mandalorian, the Foundlings.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like these were abandoned children, right?
Yeah.
So we're going to take you and make you one of us.
That's cool.
So... a couple more that I want to touch on, and then I know this is a long running one. So in Egypt, I'm going to do my best here. The Abu Rigel Mashulaka, which translates to man with burnt leg.
one leg is burnt.
Is a very scary story that parents tell their children when they misbehave. The man with burnt skin, with burnt leg, is a monster that got burnt when he was a child because he did not listen to his parents. He grabs naughty children to cook and eat them.
That's frightening.
There are so many from England, so I'm only going to...
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, that's where I've known every legend of the boogeyman came for me from England. So, like I said, it's all just saying the same thing is essentially the idea here. You know, so we don't need to spend time in just talking about similar damn things, but there's a million of them.
Yeah.
Google boogeyman around the world and see what you'll find. That's what I've been doing the whole time we've been talking, and it's like, oh my God.
So, a couple things that I'll mention here. One, and I mention these because I think they, again, relate back to things we've already been talking about in previous episodes. So, in Yorkshire, children who were also warned that they were naughty, the great black bird would come and carry them away.
Ooh, which is awesome. Like, the opposite, if you think about it, from the white stork that carries them to their home.
Well, also, great black bird is what the people in Point Pleasant actually referred to the creature they were seeing, not Mothman.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was a newspaper that called it Mothman because of Batman.
Right. Let's see. Pick another one here. In Finland, the equivalent of the boogeyman in Finland is Morko. The most famous usage of the word these days takes place in Moomin stories, originally written in Swedish, in which Morko, the Grok, is a large, frightening, dark blue, ghost-like creature. The children's game, which I am not going to attempt to try to pronounce, translates to Who's Afraid of Black Peter, was also commonly played among children through the 1960s and 70s, especially in urban settings, as a backyard game, much like Who's Afraid of the Boogeyman.
Mm. And there we go, like Black Peter we mentioned earlier. So yeah. Again, synchronicity.
Yep. And then the last one that I want to mention here, and this one I say because it is really close to something that we've talked about again in the past, and that is from Malta. The caw-caw, or sometimes pronounced as the gaw-gaw with a G, was a gray, slimy creature that roamed the streets at night. It could smell a person's guilt into their homes through the cracks and fissures by extending and contracting its snail-like body. Once it was inside their rooms, it would flash them a nasty grin with its huge, toothless mouth, scaring them witless.
Yeah, that would do it.
That right there would make a horrifying movie.
It almost reminds me of Lair of the White Worm, but they had big teeth. So, man, it's interesting because Lance and I recorded a show for Mysteries of the Dark recently talking about the top five things that scared us when we were younger that aren't meant to be scary. And so there's, you know, like one of his, for example, was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, right? And so it's just interesting some of the things that we talked about and how, God, they could fit these legends. Like, it's weird how it all ties together in my life.
So, and I mean, there are probably 50 or 60 more that I didn't even talk about.
Oh, yeah. It's the same thing when we talked about the Night Hags, you know, 2 years ago with Brad. We had to do a two-part episode and we still didn't cover them all. Like, I mean, we could have hit every single country and every single culture to talk about Night Hags. So yeah, the boogeyman is, like I said, one of the most famous scary things because every kid is scared of the boogeyman.
Right. And then, of course, if you're a John Wick fan, then you hear that a lot too. So
yeah. So very, very interesting. Man, do you have anything else on that?
So just, you know, a closing comment to say that, again, two things. One, the similarities between all these different creatures in lore across the globe is just, I mean, it's mind-boggling. Like we've talked about, the separation of people, yet the similarities in their creatures. Mm-hmm. Is there some real entity, right, that is the muse for those stories? And then number two, just kind of getting back to our whole thing about looking at stuff holistically. You know, if you were to take all of these various lore sightings, break down their descriptions into their, you know, most basic pieces, like their height, their color, their skin tone, their features, all that kind of stuff, and put it all together. And then you compare that with like Sasquatch sightings and ghost sightings and so on. I wonder how many commonalities would be found with all of the different types of creatures that we, you know, that exist in lore. So
a lot. And my little closing thing that I wanted to tell you is that the Baba Roga and the Baba Yaga are indeed very, very similar. And in fact, the Baba Roga was the inspiration for the old witch woman in Snow White that the queen turned into. She was turning into, and I don't know if in Brothers Grimm, if she turns into an actual Baba Roga, but in the Disney movie, that she was inspired by the legend of Baba Roga.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, another thing was Baba Yaga Because Baba in some of those countries means grandmother, and then Yaga kind of means witch, so it was kind of like grandmother witch. So it kind of fits that, because she's always old, even with Baba Roga. So very, very interesting that something for everyone fun to learn, that the version of the evil witch was based off of Baba Roga and Snow White.
Yeah, so, I mean, this was a really good one for me to do tonight and then, you know, try to go to sleep. Although I'm not a child, so hopefully I'm safe. So,
well, if you do not fall asleep, Josh, I'm going to tell you right now that that the boogeyman is going to come get you, and he's going to be like, good night, bugaboo. Booga, booga, booga. All right. Well, thank you for sharing all of that wonderful information. It has got me lit on some boogeyman lore. I've been looking at images of boogeymans and Baba Rogas and all kinds of stuff that I want to make for computer wallpaper. So very, very cool. But of course, we got to get out of here, you know, because time is limited and, you know, that's just the way it be. So yep. We want to quickly just remind everyone to send in your listener stories to us, because we want your stories. That's how we roll. Send in those listener stories to fearscapepodcast@gmail.com, or PM us, or direct message us, tweet us on all of our social medias, whatever you got to do. Send us those stories. And we've been getting some, and it's been kind of cool. But the story that I want to read for you comes from a listener named Becky. And this is B-E-K-I. I always love interesting spellings. So Becky sent us a listener story. And she is from Florida. And this week will be, again, portrayed by me, because I've kind of been getting these at the last minute. So I haven't had a chance with the, you know, all the stuff that I've been doing to get actors, except for, you know, Sarah a couple weeks back and stuff. So anyways, yeah. This is Becky's listener story, and it's a good one.
So one of the posts a few weeks ago on the Fearscape Media Network fan page was about the scariest thing you had ever seen or felt. Well, my answer is this. It was 6 years ago to the day, and it's something that is still as clear in my mind as the day it happened. And don't get me wrong, I'm used to activity. It's surrounded me my entire life. I'm not one to be frightened, but that way was an entirely new experience for me. You see, I haven't had the chance to go through any cemeteries here in Florida where I live now, but there are a lot of well-known paranormal areas I'd like to experience when I can find the time. But a few years back in 2014, my husband and I were checking out local cemeteries in Leavenworth, Lansing, Kansas. We came upon one that was not on the map, and one day we decided to go ahead and stop and check it out. I've always loved walking through cemeteries. I find them calming and peaceful. But something felt off that day as we walked around. My husband and I walked around a bit, and he stopped for a moment near a tree, but I kept walking. I got maybe 100 yards ahead of him and turned to say something to him, and all of a sudden, a shadow entity stood between us. The way that it glared at me, I've never been more scared in my entire life. And I'm telling you, almost nothing scares me. This was daylight, and there was no mistaking what I saw. I've seen plenty of them over the years, but never in direct daylight, and never that close to me or interacting with me. It moved toward me. I turned and walked because I had recently been injured and could not run. And I walked as fast as I could towards the car. My husband saw me and ran to meet me at the car. He asked me what was wrong, and I told him and said that we needed to get out of there now. Later, we went back there a couple times, but I never saw it or felt it again. But I'll tell you what, I've never forgotten the almost rotten taste of fear from that day.
And so, again, interesting. Wow. That you're talking about shadow figures, yet yours were peaceful. And here's a shadow figure during direct sunlight that scared the absolute shit out of her. And this is someone who loves ghosty stuff and loves paranormal and doesn't get scared, yet this shook her to her core.
Yeah. I hope I don't have shadow figures like that show up in my house. So,
right. Well, I mean, and that's a lot what my night hags have been. I mean, we've had this conversation before. So, I mean, it's just,
yeah,
you know, and again, is it your projection of the mind? Is it what it thinks you want to see it as? I don't know, but it's always when there's that attachment of that emotion that comes with it too, especially if you're an empath, like, yeah, that you kind of have to trust it, you know, because you know the difference between your own fear and something causing you to have fear. Like, there's some,
yep,
I don't know, but I don't want to dwell on that, but because, you know, you got to go to bed. I don't want you to think about Baba Robert over there dating the shadow figure. But again, thank you, Becky. Thank you for listening and thank you for sharing. And again, send your listener stories to us. And, you know, before we wrap up, you know, Josh, there's something that you still want for Christmas, for your birthday, for all of the stuff. What is that?
I would love some podcast reviews. It would be fantastic. Yes. And in fact, I'm going to make it easy on you. There's a website that we want to try to funnel our podcast reviews through. It's called Podchaser. They do a lot of good feedback to various locations for podcast ratings. And I know that they have a podcast review feature. You do not need to have an account to rate a podcast. So if you go to fearscapepodcast.com/review, it'll link you to the Podchaser site for Fearscape Paranormal Podcast, and you can review the podcast right there. No trying to figure out what your listening site uses. You know, none of that kind of stuff. Just go to fearscapepodcast.com/review. And then I'll take you directly to a place where you can review the podcast. It's really simple. It takes maybe a couple of minutes at most, and that'll really, really help us out. It helps move us up in kind of the ratings and the rankings, mm-hmm, and a lot of the podcast lists that are distributed around the world. And the better that we move up in the ratings and the rankings, the more that people listen to us, and we get to continue to bring, you know, continue to bring you guys the awesome content that we love to bring you. So
absolutely. And, you know, if you don't want to go there, remember, you still can review on places like Apple Podcasts and stuff like that. And a quick reminder, we talked about this a few weeks back, but if you give us a solid good review, or hell, just a review, we'll take it. We will send you a free sticker. So, you know, make sure to, you know, especially if you're using the fearscapepodcast.com/review, that allows us to see it right away. So hit us up, PM us to let us know you did a review, and we'll go ahead and send you a free sticker, man. We've got some really cool stickers that are out there, and we want to incentivize you guys reviewing for us to thank you for all that you do and all that stuff. So, but yeah, so get out there, fearscapepodcast.com. Check out all the stuff we have. You can submit a sighting on there as well. Also, don't forget fearscapemedia.com, where you can check out all the other podcasts that we've got going on and everything that's happening. So much goodness is happening. Hell, if you've got a podcast or you've got a podcast idea and you're looking for a network, hit us up. We are looking for new podcasts right now to join the Fearscape Media Network. So send us your idea or send us a copy of your favorite episode of your show, and we can talk and go from there. But anyways, Josh, I'm done talking because I want to get you out of here. Okay, Baba Yaga, Baba Roga, Joe Rogan, Seth Rogan, they're all waiting for you. So I want to get out of here. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. They are all playing poker. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. We love you guys so, so much. And this has been Stefan, and I will catch you on the flip side.
This has been Josh. The truth is out there.
And remember, folks, hold those blankets extra tight, because when you're listening to Fearscape, things tend to get spooky. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I'm so glad you were able to join us for that horrifying discussion. I hope they didn't frighten you too much. Tune in next week for even more research into the nightmarish and haunting creeps and spooks that we tell ourselves don't exist, but we know they do. Make sure you have your blankets, that you hold them extra tight. Next time on Fearscape.